Srimad-Bhagavatam 7943. A devotee is always merged in the ocean of transcendental bliss of rendering service to the Lord. Therefore, he is not at all afraid of any adverse situation in the material world. The Lord also promises, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. O Arjuna, you may declare to the world that the devotees of the Lord are never vanquished. Bhagavad Gita 9:31. For the protection of the devotees, Krishna's disc, the Sudarshan Chakra, is always ready. This disc is extremely fearful to the non-devotees, Prachanika Bhayabaham. Therefore, although Maharaj Ambarish was fully engaged in devotional service, his kingdom was free of all fear of adversity. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Nena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Tasma Adad Dharish Chakram Pratyanika Bhayabaham Ekanta Bhakti Bhavena Prito Bhaktabhi Rakshanam. Being very pleased by the unalloyed devotion of Maharaj Ambarish, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gave the king his disc, which is fearful to enemies and which always protects the devotee from enemies and adversities. This is a verse about protection. Here we have a very specific example of being protected by the Lord. Ambarish Maharaj, because of his pure devotion, was given personal protection by the Lord in a very tangible way, you can say. He had Sudarshan at his beck and call whenever he needed protection. He could count on Sudarshan personally coming to protect him. So for me, the question of protection, or the subject of protection, always raises the question, who's going to be protected? Am I going to be protected? So most of us are in the habit of, if there's any danger, we start praying to Nisringadeva. Or we call out to Krishna. I know I do that sort of spontaneously. Like somebody cuts me off in traffic, and Krishna, Krishna. Start thinking of Krishna to protect us. So here, what does it say about Maharaj Ambarish? Why did he get this personal protection from the Lord? Because of ekanta bhakti bhavena. So this then seems to qualify it somewhat. Yes, maybe he'll protect Maharaj Ambarish because he's an ekanta bhakti bhavena. He's a pure devotee. Ekanta means one single-minded. Bhakti bhavena, the feeling of bhakti. That's all he had, was bhakti. In the Bhagavad Gita also, here Krishna, or Srila Prabhupada mentions in the verse, he mentions Prahlad Maharaj, always being merged in ecstasy, therefore he has no fear of anything. No, he doesn't feel any. Naivodvijay, paradurate avaitaranyas. He says, I never have any anxiety. So not only protection, so part of being protected means that you don't have any fear. Bhaya, one of the principal elements of material existence is bhaya, fear. So, but Prahlad Maharaj says, I never have any fear, I never have any anxiety, because Tvadvirya Gayana Mahamrita Magna Chitta. My consciousness, chitta, magna, this word is absorbed, but actually sometimes it's used to mean drowned. Magna Chitta. What is his consciousness drowning in? Tvadvirya Gayana, glorification, because I'm always glorifying your holy name. Your virya means prowess. He's praying to Lord Nrsingadeva, because I'm always absorbed in glorifying your prowess, then I'm always in ecstasy. So that's his qualification. He's again fully Krishna conscious. In the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says the famous verse, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranasyati, where he says, Arjuna, declare it boldly My devotee never perishes. Name bhakta pranashyati. But in the previous verse, this comes right after the verse, apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabha. So here again we have, this is very similar to ekanta bhakti bhavena. Bhajate mam ananyabha. This is the verse, apichet sudaracharo is the verse where it says, even if a devotee commits the most abominable activities, still he's considered saintly. But what is the qualification of the devotee, apparently in this verse, according to what it says? Bhajate mam ananyabha. He worships me without deviation. He has only, he's fixed. So this is the quality. Then Krishna says, declare boldly, my devotee never perishes. So what's interesting, one thing about this verse, declare boldly, my devotee never perishes, the context that it comes in, just before the first part of that verse is, chitpram bhavati dharmatma, that he quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. So, don't worry, basically Krishna is saying, if a devotee shows some indiscretion, it's okay because he'll rectify himself, because I'll protect him. So often Prabhupada uses this verse to say, this is, Krishna is talking about, or Prabhupada is talking about how we can pray so we don't fall down. Sometimes when Prabhupada would, if you look at letters that Prabhupada has written to devotees, sometimes he will say, so pray always to Krishna that you will not fall down. Maya is very strong. To pray to Krishna for your protection. And this is specifically the protection that Prabhupada would sometimes say we should pray for. Pray to Krishna that you will not fall down. So this seems to be the context of this verse. But still, often, just like in this verse, Prabhupada is saying the devotee doesn't have to worry. Krishna will always protect him. So Prabhupada would sometimes make that point, and he would quote this verse, where we'd think of the ordinary kind of protection. Protection from harm, physical harm. Or protection from untimely death. So that kind of protection, where you're afraid for your physical safety, you don't have to be afraid because Krishna protects his devotee. So then again, we're getting back to what's going on here. Will I be protected? So this idea of protection, Prabhupada uses it in many different ways, in different contexts. For example, he also talks about, I printed out a conversation, an exchange Prabhupada had with one devotee. He was on a morning walk, which I thought really sums up the attitude of the devotee about protection. The devotee asked, Chandanacharya, he asked Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, I forget what was going on before in the conversation, but the devotee said something like, Prabhupada, isn't it better, like people pray to the demigods to get something, but isn't it better for a devotee not to approach Krishna in that way? Something like that. So Prabhupada said, yes, no, the devotee never prays to Krishna, period. And then he qualified it. And he says, he quoted the verse, Tate nukampam susumikshamano bunjane vatmakritam vipakam vidbhagvapurvir vidadandamaste jiveta yo muktipade sadaya bhak. So in this verse, spoken by Lord Brahma says that whatever difficulty I'm experiencing in life, I should think that that's due to my karma. But Krishna's taking care of me. So Prabhupada quoted this verse, and then his purport was that the devotee thinks, whatever happens to me, that's Krishna's protection. So in other words, I may experience some hardship, I may experience some physical pain, I may experience even untimely death, what appears to be a tragic death. But that's Krishna's protection. And in line with this, there's actually Prabhupada mentions basically this point in the sixth canto, where he says that as soon as the devotee calls out to Krishna even once, chants his holy name even once, then Krishna says, from now on this person is mine. Now he's under my protection. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes essentially the same point in his commentary on the Saratha Darshini commentary on the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the prayers by the personified Vedas. The personified Vedas, they basically say the same thing, that the devotees never feel, whether they're in a good situation or the bad situation, they always feel protected by the Lord. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, even the neophyte devotee, he's not under the law of karma anymore. He's under Krishna. So what does it mean to be that Krishna takes over? It means he's under Krishna's protection. So by definition, the devotee is always under Krishna's protection. Whatever happens to the devotee is Krishna's protection. So we may think of protection in a certain way. Protection means I'm never going to get hurt. Nothing that bad is ever going to happen to me. But Krishna doesn't, that's not what Krishna's thinking. Krishna's thinking he has different reasons for what he does. In fact, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, he gives us a few different reasons why devotees might suffer, even advanced devotees. Because Prabhupada would sometimes point out that people will challenge, oh, you say that you're protected by God, but we see devotees are something, they're in difficulty, they get hurt in different ways, and so on. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, so why does Krishna allow that to happen to devotees? So he gives different reasons. One reason he gives is that he says he doesn't want the atheists to change their attitude, basically. Because the atheist's attitude is there is no God or God will not protect his devotee. So he doesn't want to change their mind. He wants to keep them in illusion. And another way he does it is that, another reason he does it is because he wants to protect the confidentiality of devotion to Krishna. The power. This is kind of like preaching the glories of the holy name to the faithless. We're not supposed to do that. That's an offense. So it's like Krishna doesn't want them to know what he really does for his devotees. They don't deserve to know that. That's a confidential aspect of devotional service. And then he also says another reason that he does it is to increase the long... he sends hardship to the devotees. Even though he says he protects them, sometimes we see they face hardship, just like the Pandavas, for example. So why does he do that? So he does that to increase the devotees' longing for him, which of course is exactly in line with what Kunti Devi said. She said, just bring it on, because whenever we get problems, we call out to you, and then because of that, calling out to you, apunar bhava darshanam, she says, we'll never have to see another birth in this material world. So this is another reason why Krishna sends the hardship, because in hardship, devotees naturally call out to Krishna. And then the last thing that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions, he says, it may also be due to nam aparad, or a Vaishnava aparad on the part of the devotee, especially the neophyte devotee, may have to suffer because of Vaishnava aparad. So in that case, we can say it's directly our problem. So this idea of Kunti Devi, she says, we always call out to you when we're in hardship. So this, then you wonder, well, are you supposed to do that? Is the devotee supposed to do that? This point comes up also in Gajendra, the pastime of Gajendra. Because as Prabhupada says, the devotee always thinks, oh, it's just Krishna. This is just Krishna coming in another form. This is Krishna's mercy. So it would seem that you can't deny the devotee the right to do that. In fact, devotees also pray, and we're legitimately, just like we chant this Krishna, 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 hey. So in that song, it says Krishna Raksha Mam, Krishna, protect me. Raksha, that word comes up in this verse today. Bhakta Birakshanam. So Raksha means protection. So we call out to Krishna, please deliver me, please protect me. Rama Raghava Raksha Mam. This is a bona fide prayer, undoubtedly. Lord Chaitanya himself chanted this prayer. And in fact, also, we may think, just like I was saying before, if I'm not completely surrendered to Krishna, will he protect me? But one of the principles of surrender is to call out to Krishna for his surrender, for his protection. That's part of surrender, actually. In the six principles of surrender, one of them is Rakshishyatiti Vishvaso. When you have a subordinate, you can say there are at least two things you have to do for that person, your dependent. There are at least two things. You have to maintain them. Just like you have children, you have to feed them and clothe them and maintain them. Then you have to protect them also. So these two things are both mentioned in the principles of surrender. Rakshishyatiti Vishvaso, that means to have faith, great faith, that Krishna will protect me, and Gotvitve Varanam Tata. Krishna will also protect me from starvation and so on, because he's my guardian in that sense, that he'll provide for me. So it seems that we're certainly allowed to do this, to call out in that way and to feel secure in Krishna's protection. So this verse is about that sense of security of the citizens in Ambarish Maharaj's kingdom. Because he was a pure devotee. What is it that it says here at the end? Although Maharaj Ambarish was fully engaged in devotional service, his kingdom was free from all fear of adversity. So this is Abhaya. How else does Krishna protect us? Or this is, again, I was saying, this is a kind of protection when you don't feel fearful. If you're free of fear, then you feel protected. And when you feel protected, then you're free of fear. So how does Krishna provide that? We know that Krishna, just like Prabhupada's name, Abhaya Charanaravinda. So a devotee feels fearless because he's situated at the lotus feet of Krishna. But how does fear really come, or what's the basis of fear? Where does it come from, and where does it start? So this is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam also. Payam dutiya binibeshita syad isharapetasya viparyo smriti. Fear comes from duality. When we see a separateness between our intentions and Krishna's intentions. In fact, that verse is viparya smriti, which means that our attitude toward Krishna, what we think of Krishna, is just the opposite of what it's supposed to be. Prabhupada says that we become Krishna's enemy. So then we're afraid. Because we don't have the real, true, loving connection with Krishna. So we're in this material world and we're afraid of the duality. That verse says, Mayato Buddha Abhijetam Bhaktyaika Yesham Guru Devatatma. Therefore, one has to engage in devotional service to Krishna under the guidance of the spiritual master whom one should see as one's Lord and Master, basically. Guru Devatatma, as one's very self. So, this is what causes fear, is not being Krishna conscious, to put it simply, being in Maya. When you're in Maya, you're going to be fearful. Therefore, in the Bhagavatam, in the first canto, just after the Anarta verse, Anarta Upasamam Sakshat Bhakti Yogam Hokshaje, Anartas can be removed by Bhakti Yogam Hokshaje, devotional service to the Lord. Then it says, Yasyam Vai Shuyamanaya Krishna Paramapurushe, Bhaktir Utpadyate Panta Shoka Moha Vayapaha. Devotional service destroys these things. It rises up in the heart, it says. Rises up within the heart. And what happens when devotional service rises up in the heart? Shoka moha bhaya apaha. Apaha means destroyed. Lamentation, illusion, and fearfulness. So the bhaya goes away. So the citizens, we can understand that the citizens of the state, when I first read this, it says, they're free of all fear of adversity. So I thought, well, that can mean two different things. It can mean there's no adversity. There's never any adversity in the kingdom. So they're like, what should we worry about? Everything always turns out good. Adversity, sometimes we see a bumper sticker. If anything can go bad, it will. Sometimes that's the way people look at life. If anything can go bad, it will. So that means we're used to adversity. Things don't turn out adverse. I mean, they turn out the opposite of what we want. So they could be that the citizens had no fear of that because things always turned out right. But they could also have no fear because they were Krishna conscious, just like Prahlad Maharaj. Obviously, for Prahlad Maharaj, it's not that things always turned out right, but he didn't have any fear because he was Krishna conscious. So this is the real, this is what we can really count on, because Prabhupada himself would say you can't count on material. The material world is always going to present problems. There's always adversity. And you know, how does the devotee respond to it? I was thinking of this in the context of Srila Prabhupada's life, because we always look to Prabhupada, we see him as the Mahabhagwat, so how did he exemplify these things in his own life? So when I first read this, I was thinking, well, Prabhupada did seem sometimes to be disturbed by adversities, especially if his disciples caused them. He would sometimes be disturbed. So then I thought, Well, really, what was Prabhupada's disturbance? It was like, I'll go back to this verse by Prahlad Maharaj. What does Prahlad say? He says, I myself, I'm always in ecstasy. But there's still something that's, there's still a little dis-ease. There's a little something that makes me uncomfortable or actually makes me feel bad, sorrowful. Shocheta to vimukacheta sa indriyata maya sukaya bharamadvahato vimudhan. He said, even though I'm merged in an ocean of bliss in Krishna Katha, still there's some anxiety because of these fools and rascals who are suffering in this material world. Vimukacheta sa indriyata, because they're absorbed in sense gratification and they're suffering. Bharamadvahato vimudhan. They're vimudhas. Great mudhas, and which Prabhupada would often translate as fools and rascals. And when you hear this, you think, gee, it doesn't sound very sensitive, calling people fools and rascals. But what does Prabhupada mean by that? He means they're just not informed. You might, they're foolish because they don't know. What was the symbol of the mudha was the ass, the donkey. The donkey's so stupid. He's got this carrot hanging on the end of a stick in front of his nose, and he thinks, if I keep going, I'm going to get this carrot. So this is foolishness. So this is what Prabhupada meant by fools and rascals, that they are just, they don't know any better. So what do the fools and rascals do in this world? What is the suffering of the fools and rascals in this world? Bharamudbhato, they're lifting great weights in material life. Prabhupada called it the weight of responsibility. We take on responsibilities, material responsibilities, and they cause so much suffering, actually, hardship. It's a burden. So Prahlad is, this is what causes him anxiety. So I was thinking, when Prabhupada showed some disturbance, you might say, I think we could say that this is where it came from. At the root of it was his anxiety. You're my disciples, they've messed up. I'm trying to spread Krishna consciousness. I'm trying to help people. And they're making it difficult because they keep messing up. So this is the anxiety, the disturbance was, listen, Prabhupada's heart is crying out of compassion. Atma pamyena sarvatra, says in the Bhagavad Gita, that the pure devotee is so connected to others that he feels their suffering as his own. He relates to it so much. So his disturbance is, I'm trying to help these people and you're making it hard and I feel sorry for them. So there's some impediment to that. So the citizens of the state here, apparently it's stated here, they're not feeling adversity because they're Krishna conscious. Now we can also understand that just like in the reign of Lord Ramachandra, so there's no hunger, thirst, and these kinds of things. There's no premature death, one of the great pains of material existence is losing someone you love, especially a child. So these kinds of things don't happen. So they're free, obviously, of all these kinds of things. But still, birth, death, disease, and old age, they're there always, everywhere in the material world. But they're not bothered by it because they're Krishna conscious. So this, of course, is a solution to all of our problems. This is our protection. This is our protection from fear, our protection from anxiety. Whatever happens to us, again going back to what Srila Prabhupada says, whatever happens, the devotee is actually happy to see that Krishna is doing this for me. When Prabhupada gave that example about how the devotee sees that this is Krishna's protection, whatever happens, he compared it to surgery. He said, so you have to go to surgery and you have to get, this fits in with it, that tate nukampam susumikshamano verse. That the devotee sees, no, I have to go through this. I'm getting purified, especially the devotee who's progressing in Krishna consciousness. This is his attitude towards it. The devotee shouldn't think, now that I'm a servant of Krishna, everything is going to be rosy. But the devotee thinks, no, I've been such a sinful person. I have to become purified. I have to go through this filter. Devotional service is like a filter. Our activities, our thinking, our misplaced love, all of these things are contaminated. Material consciousness, so they have to go through the filter and become purified. So sometimes you can say that surgery is a kind of filter too. You go in one end and come out the other end in better shape. So sometimes the filter may be a little grating. So this is how the devotee thinks. Yes, I have to go through this operation, and I'll come out better on the other side. So this is the devotee's attitude toward adversity in this world. Therefore, it doesn't bother him, you can say. He's not afraid of it. He even welcomes it, you know, in the higher levels. Oh, this is good. That was really purifying. And the devotees also use that expression. Things are happening in their life, going wrong, and they say, boy, Krishna's really purifying me. Because Prabhupada has taught us that attitude. This is for my purification. Because we're taught this by Prabhupada, that Krishna is taking care of us. Whatever is happening in our lives, Krishna is doing it for our purification. So we don't have anything to be afraid of. Whatever is coming, Krishna is sending it. Krishna is sending it to protect me. What does it mean to protect me? Because he's making me Krishna conscious. It's like in Bhagavad Gita, you can say, another way where Krishna says he protects the devotee is when he says, Tatenu, what is the verse? Now I'm forgetting the verse. Where he says, to devotees, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajitam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. Krishna says to one who serves me, then I give the intelligence by which he comes to me. So what better protection is there than that? If you're my devotee, then I'll tell you how to come to me. That's the ultimate protection. How to go back home, back to Godhead. So Krishna is certainly giving that protection to everyone through his instructions. Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya duskritam. He also says, I come to protect the devotees. So he comes to protect them not only by fighting their battles on their side, indrari vyakulam lokam nidayanti yuge yuge. He comes not only to protect Indra from his enemies and to protect the devotees, but also by giving his association. He protects them in that way, by helping them become Krishna conscious. Like Kunti Devi says, one of the reasons Krishna comes is so that we'll have Krishna Katha, we'll have something to talk about. So Krishna Katha is the ultimate protection. Isn't it in the beginning of the Vaishnav songbook? I think Achyutananda actually wrote that introduction, where he quotes Prabhupada as saying that kirtan is the safest place in the material world. So if you want to be safe, you're under the protection of, you put yourself under that umbrella of protection, Krishna Katha, glorification. So this is what Ambarish Maharaj did for his citizens. He was a pure devotee. He trained them all in Krishna consciousness and gave them that protection. So the verse again, Tasma adad dharish chakram pratyanika bhayavaham ekanta bhakti bhavena preto bhakta birakshanam. Being very pleased by the unalloyed devotion of Maharaj Ambarish, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gave the king his disc, which is fearful to enemies and which always protects the devotees from enemies and adversities. Any questions or comments? Quite a many-sided topic. Yes, we'll see for you.
Thank you for the class, Brendan. Would you say that the act of surrendering itself removes one's fear? In other words, you're afraid on one side because you're trying to be the controller and you can't control a situation and it's beyond your control. So if you just say, it's up to Krishna, doesn't that instantly...
If it's actually a sincere surrender, if you actually have faith in Krishna, that's what that verse of the surrender, that line, it says, Rakshishititi Vishvaso. Surrender means to have the faith that Krishna will protect me. So it's a matter of faith. You know, to have faith. If you have faith in Krishna's protection, then the fear goes away. Just like the child has faith, the parents are going to protect me, I can go play around here, don't have to worry. The Prabhupada would give that example. Child has no fear because the parents are there. Child feels secure in that protection. So that's the kind of conviction that we have to have. And of course we have to develop that conviction in Krishna consciousness by learning more about Krishna and becoming closer and closer to Krishna, increasing our Krishna consciousness. That's the fearfulness. Or fearlessness, rather. Madan Mohan Prabhu.
I was also remembering one other way that Prabhupada explained why there's difficulties in the devotees when he was talking about Pandavas and Yudhisthira. There he mentioned that he had a phrase, he says, that parents instruct the daughter to instruct the daughter-in-law. He says that you can't tell the daughter-in-law directly because your relationship isn't that strong, so you instruct the daughter to instruct the daughter-in-law. So sometimes it puts the devotee in difficulty to show the world how to react to a difficulty.
Yes, right. Yeah, devotees are teachers. So if everything was just rosy for the devotees, how would we learn how to react to adversity? So that's another thing. Srila Prabhupada showed how steadfast he was. Obviously, just like when I think of Prabhupada, how he traveled. Traveling is so difficult. I like traveling. I like seeing new places. But getting there, that's no fun. The part of being in airports and, you know, getting on buses or taxis or lugging luggage around and all these things. So it's no fun. But Prabhupada did it at such an advanced age and always traveling. And then he would get right back into his schedule. It's amazing. So he showed that certainly there's adversities when one travels, but Prabhupada showed how he just continued so steady in his service to Krishna. So yeah, that's a nice example of it. Our devotees show us how to respond to these adversities of life. And devotees are happy to be an instrument in Krishna's hand to do that. They feel that is part of their service to Krishna. Madamati.
Seeing good or bad, seeing them as our past deeds, or seeing them as coming from Krishna, is that kind of same? Because Brahma is saying we should see our whatever happens taller than as past deeds. So that's how he's kind of training us.
Yeah, the way I see it is that, I'm not sure, I can't quote a verse, or well, if there's that Tatenu Kampam verse, but it seems that the idea is that we have karma coming, then it's up to Krishna how he gives it to us, is one way to look at it, which is the same way as saying that it's coming from Krishna, because he decides. But at least within our own hearts we can think, that, which is what the Lord Brahma says, that our attitude should be, I deserve a lot of karma, but Krishna's adjusting it. Basically is the idea. Krishna's adjusting it according to my needs. And of course he can also go completely. He can do anything. He can do anything that he wants to. But you might say he uses what we've done in the past as a sort of guide to what he's going to give us. That seems to be at least implied in certain places what Prabhupada says. Just like the example of the fan would reinforce that idea. When you unplug the fan, so it keeps running. So your karma keeps running, but Krishna's controlling the speed and how it slows down or whatever. Well, Krishna's certainly involved in how our previous reactions are being delivered to us. Now, of course, this is also confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Yastvinda gopa matavendra mahoso karma bandana rupa palabharjana matanoti. So it says every living entity in the universe, from Indra to the Indra gopa, is under the law of karma. Bandana rupa palabhajana matanu. Karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. Govinda mari purusham tamaham bhajami. But that verse says that the devotee is not under karma. He's under Govinda. So that's another way of saying it. Krishna is taking charge of it. Because karma, what's the idea with karma? Karma is Maya's domain. When you're a karmi, you're under Maya. She's the one, she applies the rules. And karma is very strict. You do this, you get this reaction. But for the devotee, now Krishna is in charge. So he can still apply some of those things, or he can do however he wants to do it. That's the idea. Now the devotee, he takes Maya, he says, tells Maya, now I'll take care of him personally. Purify him. You've done your job of purifying, so now I'll take more direct responsibility, you might say. Now he's in my hands, or she's in my hands. Hands are increasing here. Mother Sukada.
It seems it also has a lot to do with how much we're taking shelter of Krishna. So it may be that, you know, we're not subject to our past karma, especially when we're engaged or we're absorbed in Krishna's service, because then something might happen. But because we're, you know, constantly kirtan, we're chanting, we're engaged in service, it doesn't affect us in one very big sense. That's the protection that's available to us, that we can be transcendental because we're serving.
Still, the principle is that even for the neophyte devotee, which is a point that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes, and Prabhupada also makes in one purport, is that right from the beginning, as soon as one calls out to Krishna, basically makes the decision that I want to accept shelter of Krishna, then Krishna says, okay, he responds immediately. Then what happens to us after that, maybe in the beginning we get more of what we deserve. Then later, Krishna might let up on us a little bit as time goes on, I'd say. In fact, Kapila Dev says, Prakritim Swam Hatojasam, he says, that by devotional service, then Prakriti, material nature, its power becomes less. Prakritim Swam Hata Ojasam. Ojas means power. So the power of Prakriti becomes, Hata means impeded, blocked, becomes when one becomes a devotee of Krishna. Mahamaya?
It really struck me when you said that if someone chants Krishna's name once, that Krishna takes charge of his life. So I was just thinking how in our daily lives, when we come across people, you know, that we meet, that if we just teach them the Maha Mantra, like, there's unlimited benefit, even if we're not together enough to bring books with us or anything to hand them, we can certainly teach them the Maha Mantra.
Well, just like Prabhupada said, even if they touch the book, then their lives are successful. Because what does Krishna, another abhaya, which Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, neha bikramana shosti pratyavaya na vidyate swapam apyasi dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. So that verse says that even if one does a little bit of devotional service, then that destroys all fear. Trayate mahato bayat. And he's delivered from the greatest fear. So Prabhupada says, or implies at least in the connection with it, that means, well, in fact he says in the purport, that person will get a human life in the next birth. So what does that mean? That means that Krishna has already taken charge, because maybe that person wasn't supposed to get a human life in the next birth. But just because their devotional service has begun, now Krishna is taking responsibility for them. So yeah, whatever we can do to get people to chant Krishna's name even once, or to touch the literature. Prabhupada says even if somebody appreciates the kirtan party, then that's favorable devotional service that won't go unnoticed by Krishna. Okay, I think we'll stop here. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jaya.